Good evening, everyone. It's heartwarming to see your faces or names on the square. I took a week off last week. Tried to remove myself from all my regular activities and work. And I kept feeling very privileged to be able to do that. In this crazy world, and it feels to me impossible not to be swept by all these tragedies going on all around. What's happening in Israel, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening with the environment? Wow. And I keep going back to very simple question, which is, how is what we do relevant? How does that help? What does these teachings have anything to teach us for this modern world? And I keep thinking, I keep having in the back of my mind what David Lloyd was saying when he came to Dana and did a talk about Ecodharma, and he said, if Buddhism have anything, nothing to say about the environment, and just maybe we should give up. It has to be relevant, otherwise it doesn't answer the questions of our time. And as I keep going back to these questions, or this question, which is always kind of the same question, I have a sense that it's like all of us are having a little, the image that I have is all of us are having kind of a little flame, and we're trying to keep that flame alive in the midst of all these tragedies and all this suffering and all these terrible events that keeps happening every time. And what's the nature of that little flame also? What is it that we try to cultivate and maintain and preserve and transmit? And because I had that little image of this candle that we kind of that gives us light and we're trying to protect, and it's very feeble, and I went back to the Denka Roku transmitting the light, the koan collection transmitting the light, and I was looking at the pages, and I stopped at the section dedicated to Dogen. And what is the thing that made him click, that made him Well, as the story recalls, at least. And it's just a very simple sentence of his teacher. Tendo Nyojo says, when he hears dropping off body and mind. For him, the whole teaching is there. That's how he gets it. What he gets it there, dropping body and mind. So, how is that relevant to what we experience today in the face of what is going on in Israel, what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on with the environment, and what's going on everywhere? And what strikes me the most is and also what makes it so unbelievably kind of against the stream and so unusual what we do. Is that what strikes me is like the world is so polarized and so, and it's so easy to take views, take stand, take one side against the other. And it's extremely hard not to do that. There was a scene in the TV show had mentioned that years ago when a couple of years ago when that it came out on Netflix with this TV show about the Queen, Elizabeth, and when she becomes Queen and she's so young and then basically. That she's told what to do and what not to do, and the person says to her, basically, don't say anything. And she realizes she can't manifest her personal opinion about her political views. And she's like, so can't say anything. The guy's like, yeah, but this is the hardest job. This is the hardest thing to do. Probably that's one of the reasons why she was appreciated so much, also, not taking sides. Also go back to the story of Thich Nhat Hanh and during the Vietnam War and what does it mean not to take side for the communists or for the Americans or for what do we do? How do we drop our, or how do we embrace all discrimination so that we can open up to the totality of it? And it's one can understand. The reaction of the Israelis being attacked and feeling that they need to defend themselves and I want to destroy, those who attack me. Me against them. Seems a legitimate right to defend oneself. Yet, how do we go beyond and how do we make peace? Can we actually make peace from that point? From that? And how do we acknowledge our anger, acknowledge our fear, and yet not indulge into it? And from far away, when we're not concerned, it's you know, might seem feasible, and maybe when we're not, when we're in it, it seems unmanageable. And this is what one of the things that we train in, like this dwelling in nowhere, as the koan says. Cultivating our ability to embrace our anger and not indulging in it, not getting hung up on it. Our despair, same thing. And it is hard not to, and I think our practice also is relevant for that, you know. It's very hard sometimes, not to fall into despair and hopelessness about the whole situation. And again, it's like, what does it mean to drop body and mind in the face of that emotion of despair that arises? To at the same time acknowledge that emotion that arises, that feeling that arises, and letting it be, not clinging to it. This is how Kaizen describes did I note that somewhere? Truly, the practice of Zen consists of abandoning attachment to the body and leaving ordinary mind behind. Paradox is, we leave ordinary mind behind, that mind that actually, you know, our habitual way of functioning. So, falling into anger, falling into despair, falling into to experience another type of functioning, not caught up by fear, despair, anger. But it seems, feels sometimes like we are a tiny island, you know, of where we really go against the stream of what is being practiced, experienced everywhere, taking sides and trying to defend our own interests and our inability to see the big picture and to see the oneness and It is hard not to it is hard not to feel a sense of despair in front of that. And yet again, I think that can be a starting point from the practice. How do I not fall into despair? How do I drop body and mind in the face of that despair? And what can be done ultimately? So from that point of view, from that not point of view, from that experience of dropping body and mind, how do we respond? It makes a huge difference. That's Dogen's turning point as the story is told. I actually always I like these stories. All these Cohen stories that tells about the turning points of each one of these characters. And sometimes I reflect about the what are the turning points in my life? What are the words or the situations that made me realize something? There's so many moments probably for each one of us in our lives, moments where we got it. And of course we got it because there was some tons of work behind it that led us to that point. I mean, Dogen did, that happened to him after years of practice and studying and just and actually there is a in the Denka Roku there is a previous story from a different ancestor prior to Dogen, who had like studied and studied and I don't know, forgot how it goes, but he asked the teacher asked him, so what have you learned? And he's about to speak, and the teacher just puts his hand on the on his mouth. It's not about words. And then he understands. And I mean, for probably each one of us on screen who have been practicing for a while, it seems we are familiar with that experience of dropping body and mind. But every week when I go to these institutions where I teach, and they're like these newcomers, and it's like it's so touching to see how unfamiliar we can be with our own experience, that space where we are not clinging to anything, when we're not following, an opinion, a thought, when we're not taking sides and we let just things arise. And for many people, it's just such a discovery that there's another way of experiencing our reality, another modality to go through life by not picking and choosing, or like starting and st responding to a situation not from the point of view of me and my interest and me defending myself and all that, but from a very different point, from the point of view of from the experience of oneness, from the experience of dropping body and mind. It's very rare. I mean, it's so sure, I'm so convinced that any one of us have experienced that dwelling in nowhere. We ex familiar with that experience, but it's rare. It's really rare. And this is why I have that impression that it was like we're trying to cultivate something that is very precious and very feeble and just like, and yet it's a, it needs to be preserved because it's an antidote to destruction and suffering. And in all the areas of your life, we of our life, we can just cultivate this. And hopefully that is being transmitted, or something is being transmitted to that. I feel what it's for me, what's a little bit missing in the or what's underlying what is behind Dogen's dropping body on mind, what is implicit and what is being expended afterwards is the benevolence, the compassion, the gentleness, the this is that is how it's being manifested, that dropping of body and mind, that ability to hear the cries of the world, as we say in our tradition. If we start from a different position than this dropping body and mind, though it's not a position, then it's very difficult to hear the cries of the world. It's very possible to, it's easy to hear the cry of my world, my own cries, my own suffering, my own stuff. But can we go beyond that? I do feel in the in all my being how that is that cultivation of is so important. Or to alleviate a little bit of our suffering as a as living beings. And it's very, hence, it's very precious and very pertinent, what has been transmitted. So relevant, so relevant in this world. Whether it's dropping body and mind, expressed as dropping body and mind, or expressed differently, experiencing intimacy, experiencing no self, experiencing the oneness, experiencing one mind. It's a It is so moving when I mean, I'm thinking of what happened today. Someone who came for the second time in this the institution where I am. She came for the second time, and she was there was she arrived, and she was full of her mind was very cluttered with thoughts, and there was something that opened. Ability to just, we can just rest. We can relax in ourselves and appreciate and embrace and not get stuck and yet we're not there yet. On the when we just switch on the news, it's a different story. And the image that this other story in the Koan, just like the teacher putting the hand on the mouth of the student, I just feel sometimes that is exactly what is needed. Just shh, no more, no more talk, no more opinion being expressed, no more this side, that side, he's right, he's wrong. Yeah, I don't think I have any more to say for the moment. So if you want to share, if you want to say something. Yeah, Freddy.
Good night, everyone. I think there is only one word that I really don't hear, and this word is love. We need to love the Israeli, we need to love the Palestinian, we need to bring love. It's love, to me, it's love. It's not war, we need to love, they need to feel love. It's all about love. Everyone needs to be loved. When there is love, there is no I, it's we. I just want to talk about love. We just wish that they could feel love. They need love now. We need love now. We need love now. And to give love is to be we.
Yeah, what you're saying, Freddie, just I had a little hesitation earlier on about, is love the consequence or the manifestation of that ability to dwell in nowhere, to drop body and mind, or is it the same thing? I kind of, it's like it's a requirement or it's the manifestation or it's the one is the cause of the other. I'm not sure, or it arises at the same time or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a, yeah, at least it's the manifestation, the clear manifestation of it. But and I feel it's the love is an openness in itself, and how do we open ourselves? And that's the embracing. That's the embracing, and that's the our ability to just that. That's what's missing. Yeah, that's what's missing. The ability to open up. Yeah, Krisha.
Evening, everyone. When you started, I thought immediately, this I know how to answer.
The what the which one? The dropping a body on mine?
No.
No.
The how is this practice relevant for
Oh.
the stuff we are living, the environment, the war, the crisis, all the bad stuff that we are that we see on the news and everywhere on the world. I think our practice is really, really relevant because it's a kind of, for me, it's completely, I don't know how to say it, but it's a spiritual activism in the sense that if we practice and from our practice it arises some wiseness and we start not to act from anger, eager, ignorance. And not feeling separated and feel connected in our collective actions, the environment, the wars, the misunderstandings, the conflicts will subside. This is a thing I really believe. And which is what annoys me is that you can't ask everyone to practice. But it is what it is. But I do believe if we all practice, if we could plant the seed, go to schools, go wherever, it's completely relevant in our action as a whole, because We learn how to not act. I'm sorry, the English is awful. I don't remember. Not act from, I think it's anger, eager, or ignorance, and not felt separated. And trying to answer your question that I don't know. That path is how we will drop our, I forgot, drop our body and
Body and
mind.
mind. Yeah, body and mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, this what I've been I agree with you. I trust that it's I trust and I see how that practice is is relevant. Yeah. And at the same time, it needs to be adjusted. I mean, it's like skillful means. It needs to be adjusted. The language needs to be adjusted, and just and the yeah, the practices needs to be adjusted too. And we don't live in monasteries anymore, so. That's our responsibility to bring that and share it in an appropriate way. Yeah.
But I don't know, but that I feel is really tricky and difficult. How
Is.
to make an approach approachable for everyone, because
Yeah.
yeah, it's that.
But maybe it's, and sometimes it's not through, you know, we should, it's not about speaking sometimes, but just being a certain way. And yet I have this, for me, there was such such a turning point. I was thinking of when one of the things, you know, when I went out of a, when I went out of a, maybe I told that story again already, but when I was coming out of a retreat in Switzerland, it was in 2019, and in June 2019, and we got picked up by a taxi driver, a couple of us from the retreat in Switzerland in Interlaken. And the guy, the taxi drivers, I asked him if he was used to come to this place, and he says, "Yeah, I know this place. I come quite often." He said, "So what kind of seminar it was?" And I said, "It was a meditation retreat." And he said, "So what did you learn?" There were a couple of us in the car, and we got petrified. All of us sat for a week, and it's like suddenly a taxi driver's like, "So what did you learn?" And I thought, I need to say something. I need to say something. And right on the spot, I didn't manage. And at the end of the ride, I managed to say something to him.
And what did you tell?
Was in interesting because he was I didn't know how to answer, and then there were like there was me, there was a woman from Spain, and there was a someone from I forgot from Netherlands, and so it was the bunch of international people. And then he started to say that his daughter was in Paris, lived in Paris, and I was like, oh yeah. So we started talking about Paris, and I talked about his daughter, what his daughter was doing, but he, in fact, he started to be express his. He is discontent about the situation because her daughter married someone who is an Arab. So the discussion turned into kind of a weird path, you know, about he was expressing a lot of racist opinions and discontent and all that. So I use that, and I really use that, and I was like, and I try to connect with his discontent and his inability to connect with his daughter because of that. And that says, this is what we do, try to connect. Try to, see what our resistances are. And so, not sure of the wording, but I really try to say something based on his experience and connect with his experience so that he can understand. I have no idea what kind of effect it had on him. Probably none, but maybe who knows? Maybe that's a seed. I don't know. I have no idea. But it kind of hunted me because in these situations, I thought, yes, someone is asking a very important question. It's like in these koans, what's the last word of Zen? You need to, like, what do you do? And when a taxi driver asks you that, when a street woman asks you that in a marketplace, what do you do? What do you say? What do you, kind of, this is a one chance, one life, one, this is one opportunity to express it, manifest it. It's like it was I felt like I was in Dokusan room, Taxi driver's like, what did you learn? What's the bottom line of it all?
Yeah, that should give us to think. If after 1 week of sitting we can't say a word about what we learned, that's quite something.
Yeah, and that also another moment that was very important to me was in forgotten 2000, I think, when I went to Great Vow and with Hogen Roshi there in Oregon. And at the end, we did a council circle, and because there were so many people, we just couldn't go through the whole usual thing. It was like there was 60 people or something. So he said, "Say two things, one thing that you learned and." One thing, I forgot what was the second item. It was like one thing that you learned, and then you didn't even have time to think about it because he went, you. I was like, forgot what I said, but it's very, very powerful. Yeah. This is actually something I do in the guided meditation. Very often in the places where I go to, with non-Zen practice, whatever I do there, but it's sometimes at the end of the meditation, it's like, what is the thing that you've noticed? Is there something that, yeah, that you've noticed, that you learned, that surprised you? At some
Yeah,
point, I
that's a,
was,
I'm sorry.
yeah, sorry.
No, it's a good question to ask because what comes to my mind is what Amy often says, that it's like walking through a field with wet plants and without noticing you get soaked with water. And I think, yeah, this practice really changes how who you are or how you are and how you are in this world. But it's also good to sometimes take a step back and really name some things that you learned or that have changed or.
Yeah, yeah, I'm there in these places under the label mindfulness. And so mindfulness comes from sati, the word, the Pali term sati, and sati is to remember. And this is what we do. We try to remember, try to become aware, but to remember. And it's good, like, to go back. It's like, yeah, what have I seen? Today, as I was going to the school, I crossed the forest. So the ride is really beautiful, and in autumn, I love the season, and because the colors are so vivid, it's just unbelievable. All the shades of brown and orange and maroon, it's just unbelievable. And at some point through the ride, I just stopped and I realized, God, how can I say? I was in my thought process, and at some point, that thought process stopped, and I realized the beauty of it. It was there all the time, but suddenly I realized it. I could see it. I was like, oh, yes. And there was a moment of like, wow moment, but also like, yeah, a mindfulness moment, a remembering moment of how beautiful that is. And it's unique, but it's every year, it's at that's. At that season is very quite something. And 3 weeks ago, it didn't have that brilliance at all. It was very different. But I had to stop. I had the there was a that the thought process had to stop for me to witness it, And it's good to remember. Yeah, it's actually really beautiful. I really realize now. I remember how beautiful it is. Now I see it. Yeah, Debbie.
Yeah, when you were talking about how moving it is in these different places where you're teaching, when you see people kind of getting into it, it reminded me Frank Roshi told this a long time ago. He was doing the same thing in the University of somewhere in Belgium, that he suggested that people, I don't know how guided it was, but just sort of notice what their mind was doing and be in in their own minds. And one of the people started crying, said, I have never, it never came to me that this was possible. He was in his 60s. That he
The
was,
woman was in her 60s, you
the
said?
person who started crying was in their 60s, yeah.
In her 60s.
And they said that they had never, I don't know, never thought of doing it, never had been there, never had that sort of moment of actually observing themselves. That's why I really agree. This is radical, and this is the key. Once you begin to discover all the richness of this, it changes everything else. But a 22-year-old with a gun in Israel hasn't had the time, I guess, or hasn't had the chance.
Yeah, and what Freddie said, also not feeling they're being loved or heard, and Roshi, remind me that there was a practice that you mentioned at some point that I did for quite a while. It was like three items to write every day. One was something that touched me, something that I learned, something that no was the do you remember these three things?
I always give it in writing workshops. Something that during the day, something that has surprised me, something that has touched or touched me, and something that has inspired me. And if nothing surprised you that day, you write, nothing surprised me today. If nothing inspired you, nothing inspired me today. And if nothing touched you, nothing touched me today. So
it's a regular practice just to keep you attentive to the world in a different way.
Yeah, it was very helpful. I did that for quite some time. And it's really an exercise of sati, of remembrance, and hence being mindful of what is going on in our life. I think at some point I added more items, but it's like, but it's very, yeah. What touched me? What surprised me? It's like, can we be? One of the things I go back to is like, in the sitting is, can I have this investigative mind, this mind that is curious for what is happening also. It's not just sitting there and yeah, but really engaging. Really engaging. I'm curious. I appreciate. I'm curious. I engage with my own experience, and putting words can help. Yeah, I'm touched. I'm surprised. I've learned something. I notice something. I'm astounded by something. Yeah. That can really help. Not to hold on to it, but just to qualify, to describe it, to know how to describe it, define it. And there we can be extremely creative. You know, there's huge amount of space to be creative in the type of, you know, whether it's in writing or whether we put it in music or anything. I think we are getting to the end of it, coming to the end of it. If anything wants to add something, or otherwise we'll close it. Yeah, Krisha.
It's nothing special. It's because Roshi told that on the writing workshop she does, but I learned this with her. I always forget one. I think it's inspiring. In the Heart of Life retreat, and I love it. I really love it. I think it's a way to be present with the moment, with the little things. You know, you can be surprised by the freshness of the water. Drinking, you don't have to. Initially, I remember nothing surprised me, or nothing moved me, or nothing inspired me. But then it was by the little things, and then I forgot, of course. But sometimes I remember, and I use it. It's in the morning. It was just this. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really like a practice. I mean, the whole practice, but this is very specific, you know, practice of appreciation, appreciating what is happening in our life. And that goes through noticing. That starts with noticing. Okay. Well, thank you so much.